Just looking at the US going back over this past week, the indicators suggest that the US economy is not quite as strong as it has been. It's still nowhere near recession when we look ahead, but some of the indicators are just a touch soft. So, for example, last week we had May retail sales came out. They lifted after falling the month before on revision. The month before was revised from zero change to minus 0.2. But we did get a lift of 0.1% month on month, the month of May. But it's not as strong as retail sales have been over the last few months in the US. And core retail sales were actually down by 0.1%, whereas the market was looking for 0.2 there. On the building side, home building side, mixed figures here. If we're looking at things like building permits, still pretty soft. So we had a fall of 3% going back to the month of April. We hoped we'd see something of a rebound of 0.7%. We got another fall of 3.8%. But housing starts, they too were pretty weak as well, down 5.5%. after a 4.1% increase the month before. And the National Association of Home Builders Index has come back a little bit further to 43 from 45. So just a bit of softness just running through those indicators as well. Having said that, industrial production in May in the US was a lot stronger than expected. One of the strongest monthly readings we've had actually over recent times. It was up by 0.9%. The market was looking for a 0.2% increase there. And we also had old-style purchasing managers' reports. These come out before the ISM ones, and we had them for the manufacturing sector and the services sector for May. And surprisingly, these are pushed further above 50. So the manufacturing PMI has lifted to 51.7 on this one from 51.3, and the services sector PMI was at 54.5, which was a very strong reading going back to April. It's lifted to 55.1. So these are important leading indicators and suggest, if anything, it's a dogleg up coming at some point in the not-too-distant future. When we look at the labour market, we've had the signs that maybe the labour market might be just starting to soften up at the edge over the last month or so in things like initial jobless claims where we've gone above 240,000. We edged down a bit on that, so we came down to 238,000 from 243,000. That's still above where it was averaging going back a month or two back. But again, just this odd sign that maybe we're getting another one of these swings running through economic activity where we're looking at the weakest part of it now, and it may start to flip back up again. So just watching it from that sort of context, and what the Federal Reserve needs, of course, are still signs that the US economy is relatively soft. It needs to get inflation down further, and that would then give it the potential to lower rates as we go a bit further down the track. Into this week, and we get things like consumer confidence coming out. Interestingly, the most recent University of Michigan consumer sentiment survey was quite soft, came down a few points. This one's expected to come down a few points as well, from 102.0 to 100 in June. So looking for that one to be comparatively soft. As far as initial jobless claims are concerned, later in the week, that's expected to come down further to 230,000 from 238,000. So if that's what happens, then we'd expect to see some expectation that the labour market's still comparatively tight. We get things like May new home sales. They're expected to be one of the better ones amongst the home building indicators, and home buying indicators expected to rise by 2.5% after falling 4.7% the month before. There's a revision to GDP, Q1 GDP. The most recent revision saw it at 1.3% annualised. We don't expect to see much change from that. And then right towards the end of the week, we're looking for things like the core personal consumption expenditure deflator, this alternative to the CPI. It was at 2.8% year on year, hoping to see it down around about 2.7%. It's still well north of where the Fed needs to sit happening, but some signs of progress just running through there as well. And we also get the latest personal spending and personal income data. These have been quite firm over recent months and are expected to stay firm for the most recent reading. So May personal spending is expected to be up 0.3% after lifting 0.2% the month before, and personal income up around about 0.4% after being up 0.3%. But in essence, the story about the US is, you know, the Fed's watching all this to see whether there is this potential to bring interest rates down. The sticking points, as far as the Fed's concerned, are the potential for demand to stay strong, underpinning inflation in the United States. And much of that strength is coming through from the service sector and, of course, very loose government spending, where the US still has a budget deficit, which is running around about minus 7% of GDP, with no real outlook, even looking at the political situation coming up in November, that that's going to change much over the course of the next year or so. So it's there supporting demand and, by one remove, supporting inflation. So this is the balancing act which the Fed is facing. Yes, it intends, hopes to bring interest rates down by the end of the year, by perhaps a quarter, but there's still a long way to go in terms of just getting the run of data right that would permit it to do so. In the case of China, we've still got an economy which is really, you know, languishing. It's still struggling to pick up momentum. And we saw it there with the monthly readings that came out last week. You know, for example, in a normal recovery in China, where the authorities are boosting demand to help it lift, that would tend to happen through fixed asset investment spending. But the problems in the construction industry mean that it can't do it this time around. And we're seeing that. So in May, fixed asset investment spending slid to 4.0 from 4.2% going back the month before, and that was a bit weaker than expected. It's not going to be an underpinning for economic growth near where the authorities would like, which is up over 5%. Industrial production, similar story. It slid to 5.6% year-on-year in May from 6.7% going back the month before. Slightly better story as far as retail sales are concerned, but nowhere near strong enough to give them a real boost to growth. They lifted a little bit to 3.7% year-on-year from 2.3% year-on-year. And they really need to see that up into double digits, you know, near 10 or 11% year-on-year, if they're to stand any hope of getting real GDP moving up towards 5% as they're planning for this year or hoping for this year. And you know, one of the factors which mitigates against that, house prices in China, they're still collapsing. There's no real sign of much improvement on the horizon there. In May, the National House Price Index was down 3.9% year-on-year. That was after being down 3.1% year-on-year the month before, so it's actually getting worse. And if anything, these the official numbers here actually way understate the downward price pressure on house prices in much of China at the moment. Unemployment rate, well, it's a fudged figure in China. It's been holding at 5% month in, month out, but most people believe it's higher than that. And we've got the authorities, or at least part of the authority group, the People's Bank of China, sort of caught in the headlights. They're not doing much with interest rates because they know they can't help much. And so they went through another meeting and left their cash rate at 3.95%, the same as the month before. You know, remembering that inflation is 0.3%, so you're looking at a real official interest rate here, which is 3.65%. Yeah, that is still way, way high. Whilst interest rate settings are different in China to most other countries, that is a drag when we're looking ahead, that they feel unable to be able to do much with that. We won't get much out of China this week, and there's very little in the way of economic data coming out. But then moving to Australia, and we had a little bit of data with the ANZ job ads. They are coming off a little bit, but they're still substantially up year on year. So the most recent month, they were down 2.1% after being down 2.3% the month before. So the edge, there appears to be a little bit of softening in labour market tightness, perhaps from these figures. And we had the mid-June RBA meeting decision and all the commentary that came out after it. And essentially, they left the cash rate unchanged at 4.35%. No surprise there. But in the commentary afterwards, it's interesting that they'd gone back to more or less where they were back in April, more than one meeting back, where they said that the board actually considered whether they should be hiking rates at that meeting. They didn't say that going back to May, but it appears that they're starting to become a little bit worried about the stickiness of inflation here in Australia, and that came through fairly clearly in everything that Michelle Bullock's been saying, not just after this meeting, but in commentaries before. And that is that they won't hesitate if inflation stays sticky or rises and shows signs of continuing to do that, then they will hike rates further. And I still think it's a pretty high barrier for them to think about doing that, because we have got softening economic activity here. The problem is that we know that on the near-term horizon, there's all sorts of factors that could actually make demand in Australia less soft. And amongst those are loose budgets coming through from both the federal government and one or two of the states. We've also got real wage growth at the moment. On top of that, obviously, we've got the tax cuts coming through, and we've got some one-off payments to households too coming through from the federal budget, largely relating to the energy payment. So all of those factors boosting household disposable income much more so than we have seen over recent years. We'd need to see much of that going into savings rather than spending. Otherwise, the Reserve Bank's fear does come to light. But we'll wait and see. At the moment, I still think it's a fairly high barrier for them to lift rates. But we won't have anything less than 4.35% for the cash rate well and truly through this year, and probably through the first half of next year. So we are getting stuck at this 4.35%. This week, there is a number which they'll be watching fairly carefully. It's interesting that the market thinks we'll get another lift in the inflation rate. So we've got the May CPI coming out on Wednesday. This is the monthly. And remembering that the low point on the monthly CPI was back in February when we were down to 3.4%. Since then, it's been drifting up. And in March, it went up to 3.5. In April, it went up to 3.6. Well, the consensus forecast for the one this week is 3.8. So this is actually moving in the wrong direction. And whilst I'm not convinced that the Reserve Bank is going to lift interest rates again, I don't doubt that if we got a 3.8 at this number on Wednesday, the bond market would probably start to factor in even more the possibility of a rate hike at some point before we go much further. So we've got a potential pressure point for interest rates coming up here middle of this week. That's the only real data point this week, but an important one. We have got some private sector credit right at the end of the week on Thursday for the month of May. And this has been lifting over recent times too, mostly housing credit. The household sector here, even though there's specific factors which are leading to the relative strength in house prices and demand for housing, it's still remarkable in current circumstances that you're getting quite such strong growth running through these indicators that say that house prices are going to continue to rise. Private sector credit was up 0.5% month on month, going back to the month of April. My guess is it's up another 0.5%. So we're annualising around about above 6% year on year in terms of credit growth. So with interest rates at all those interest rate hikes we've had, it's just not denting the appetite for people to take on more debt. And so it's just another one of those issues that suggests that there's no hope of interest rates coming down here. It's just an issue of sort of whether they do need to go higher for a period. And that's notwithstanding the fact that some central banks overseas are just in the beginnings of a position to lower rates. We had another one last week, the Swiss National Bank, where they cut their official interest rate. But having said that, we have another example, which is the Bank of England, and they left their base rate unchanged at 5.25%. Now, that's notwithstanding that the most recent inflation reading has seen inflation come down to 2% in the UK. The problem is they can't guarantee it's going to stay there. You know, wage growth in the UK is way higher and suggests that they're going to flip back up again in terms of inflation pressure as we go further ahead. And that's probably the story in continental Europe as well, because we had European Q3 wages came out, and wage growth in Europe lifted from 3.2%, this is Q4, sorry, wages, lifted from 3.2% in Q3 last year to 5.3% in Q4. Now, clearly, that's going to support pretty strong inflation. And inflation in Europe at the moment, the most recent monthly inflation rate actually lifted a bit to 2.6% in May from 2.4% in April. There's a real risk that that's going to go higher still. And this presents a real conundrum to the ECB, who have started to lower interest rates. They put away one interest rate cut. When they can do another one is anybody's guess, if they can, given that we've still got this strength running through wages and also inflation. Some of the other indicators we got last week, services are doing very, very well in Europe. They're having a very good summer as far as tourism is concerned. That is boosting demand and is helping to lift economic activity in much of Europe. And we saw it in June in the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey, which lifted from plus 47 to plus 51.3, much of it driven by the services sector. So it's quite a deal of strength just running through that again. But it's a mixed picture in Europe. So we also had the June manufacturing PMI and services sector PMI. And this is the same story that we're seeing around the world. It's one of those conundrums. How is it that you've got somewhat softer GDP growth rates, and yet you've still got persistent tightness running through labour markets, creating real wage pressure and potential to underpin inflation? Well, the answer is that it's the services sectors everywhere, which are still showing a lot of strength. And we see it in Europe in spades. The manufacturing PMI for June is in deeper contraction territory. It fell to 45.6 from 47.3. But the services sector PMI is still holding up. And it was at 53.2 going back to May. It came back just under the 53 to 52.6, but still pretty expansionary. And services use a lot more labour relative to manufacturing for any given amount of output. And so that's where the pressure points are coming as we run through this this service-driven growth. Even though you've got old-style manufacturing, which in many areas is actually struggling still. So it's that's where the pressure points remain, and the sticking point for how quickly some of the central banks that have started to lower interest rates can continue, and a barrier to those that haven't started yet, like our RBA, where we might be holding out for quite a while before we can start to bring interest rates down, and may even have to have an interest rate hike before then. In Europe this week, not a lot coming out, so we've got the Business and Consumer Confidence Survey coming out. It is expected to lift and to probably 96.3 from 96, and again, it's the services part which is largely driving that. So we're in this interesting position. We've got some central banks doing things differently to others, but their potential to go on doing that is limited. And those that are sticking, there's a real risk that some of the economic numbers will actually move back into territory, which will prevent them from starting to bring interest rates down when expected. So all of that does imply that bond yields are going to get very, very sticky at current yields. And if anything, we've got another one of these mini cycles upwards in yields, which is not too far away, where we'll get another push upwards before we go too far.